Well, about 9 months ago, I was putting this lesson together. 9 months ago would have been about late September. Steve and I, we had been talking about last wills and testaments and all that other stuff. And, you know, my dad's getting to the end of his days and started feeling a little guilty. Maybe we didn't have our paperwork's in order. And then I was notified that my brother-in-law, Bob, his first wife, had a massive stroke and died about a week later. She was just a young sprig, maybe 66. Then we learned that Art Sutherland had gone to be with the Lord, and I just set the message aside for a while. So about 2 weeks ago, I said, okay, well, the dust has settled, so I'm going to do this message. And because it's Lana, she would understand. She would appreciate the message, and so I decided I want to go ahead and do this message. By the way, administrative note, I did pursue the last will and testament for Linda Lou and I. And there's still a couple of details that we got to iron out, but we're finally updated. My previous one was from 1990, the first Desert Storm. It was sort of mandatory, you know, that we all update our last wills and testament because they figured we were all going to get gassed and die anyway. So I hadn't done anything with that thing in 30 years. 30 years. So I'm up to date. I don't imagine anybody wants to leave a financial problem for your kids to struggle with, and we don't want the kids to fight and get separated because of something we could have made clearly known in our last wishes, and then they don't know, and then they get upset, and then they fight, and then they stop talking with one another. Raise your hand if you've seen that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes on for years and years and years, and you're thinking, gee whiz, all this because of, you know, mom's wool coat or fur coat, you know? Are you kidding me? By the way, Sue got the fur coat. My mom's fur coat? Oh, yeah.
Did you want it?
Nope. I was never asked. But no, I didn't want it. No, don't do that. I'd have put it up on the wall and tell somebody I shot it or something. So the encouragement this morning is entitled, Set Your House in Order. And it's applicable to everybody in this room. It's not about making sure you have the right paperwork done or the right amount of life insurance to take care of your family. It's not about making sure you have a will or a power of attorney or even a health advocate assigned. By the way, that's something new. It's just about making sure you have your spiritual house set in order. Imagine my joy and happiness when somebody younger than I gets up here and says, hey, look, there's things to do around here, and it's our responsibility because the old folks are passing away. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, what great joy. Yeah. The Apostle James, he has some words of encouragement for us in James chapter 4. And hopefully this won't be a really long message. I just want to get to the point. James 4, picking up in about verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know how appropriate that is? Yesterday, I get home. It's okay. Michael, he says, yeah, okay. Got home from Battle Creek. I'd gone to have lunch with Linda Lou, and her phone rang. And she normally keeps her phone on speaker. Don't ask me why. She likes to yell at the phone, and the people in the phone, they yell back, and so I can hear everything that's going on. One of her coworkers died yesterday in a kayaking accident. A very young sprig, 56. Some of you young people don't get that. But when you look back, 56 is a young sprig. Hallelujah. Out having fun in a kayak. Just doing what people do, you know, in a kayak, and somehow got flipped over, got caught up against a dam, and the water was going through, and they couldn't get the kayak up right side up, and she passed away. It's extra traumatic because Linda liked this lady. She was a good CSM. So now who are they going to get? You know, that's her thought. Who are we going to get to replace her? But that's how quick things can change. I'm sure that lady, when she got in that kayak, was thinking, hey, man, we're going to go have a good time. Well, now she's going to meet her maker. We want to make sure that we have the proper focus for our daily life with the days that we got remaining. The Apostle Paul had an encouragement for Timothy, which I think is applicable in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. He says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Those are the things we should be chasing after. We often talk about Jesus and his missions and what missions we might have before us. One of the roadblocks in our walk with the Lord are the many distractions that cause us to lose our focus. Sometimes these are just things of life getting in our way, and others may be from Satan to distract us. Either way, the Lord's work is not getting done. Either way, off task means lost time, and lost time can never be recovered, except if your name is Hezekiah. Remember in 2 Kings 20, Isaiah the prophet, he sent to King Hezekiah, who was sick, and told him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." We know the king was pretty unhappy about that, and he prayed to God, and as a result, he got 15 more years. Which was probably not a good thing because we ended up with Manasseh. But what about us? If we were told today that your life had come to its end, would you cry unto the Lord for an extension? What is going on in your life that you need to finish? What would you have to do to set your house in order? So if we just took a moment and thought about that, what is it that you have left to finish? If I told you, okay, next week, it's all over for you. Oh, well, you need to what? What is it that you need to do? One of the things that Linda accuses me of when I don't say positive things about remaining here on the earth, don't you want to see your grandkids grow up? No, I'm good. I don't know why that is. Why is it that I get such grief about something like that? Those kids belong to them. Their responsibility. Do I want them to grow up and, you know, get into all kinds of whatever that I have to witness? No, I just as soon be gone. It's their problem. I see this is not going well. Not even the guys are standing up for me. Ay, ay, ay. Well, let's put it this way. If I'm told I'm gone in a week, I'm good with that, okay? I'm not hanging on to anything. It's their problem.
Amen.
Thank you. One amen. I've done everything I possibly can to set my house in order, and there's no more to do. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. The scripture backs me up. For it is soon cut off and we fly away, so why bother?
You dwell on the flying away.
Yeah, flying away. We're all heading to death in the flesh, and it may come suddenly, such as it did for that lady yesterday who was kayaking, or it could come slow and painfully. What tragedies were in the paper this week? Anybody else read the obituaries besides me? I bet you I'm the only one in this room. Oh, thank you. Oh, you probably do it for business reasons, though. Aye, aye, aye. Oh, thank you. How many people died from something other than old age? Regardless of the method or the circumstance, the death of the flesh is coming upon us all. Or, well, Jesus could come again. Mark 13. Mark 13. Picking up in about verse 31. Jesus speaking, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Be prepared. Be ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Picking up in about verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers." Remember what DJ was saying about taking on additional responsibility? Young peoples. Yep. "We are God's fellow workers." That's our job. That's our mission. "You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, but he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." "Anyone defiling the temple of God will be destroyed. If nothing else, we should all know what it means to defile the temple of God, because when God destroys something, there's no putting it back together. Webster says to defile is to make filthy, corrupt, to violate the chastity of, to violate the sanctity of, desecrate, dishonor, contaminate, pollute, soil, or taint. I think Noah Webster did a pretty fine job describing that word, so when you see it, you know there's nothing good about it. It's all bad. We are the house of God. Is everything set in order, or has the temple been defiled? Is there anger, lust, covetous, hatred in the house? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up in about verse 15. Again, the Apostle Paul to us, the Christians, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everywhere you go, Christ goes with you, living inside you, seeing what you see, hearing what you hear, watching what you do. What must you do to set your house in order? Only you can answer that question. If you refuse to answer that question, it's a sure thing nothing is going to change. Alcoholics can't recover if they never admit that they have a problem. It's a sure thing you can't overcome sin if you refuse to see it. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 tells us, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Do we have the same Christian characteristics as Paul told Timothy he needed to be successful? Did he have the righteousness, the godliness, the faith, the love, the patience, and the gentleness? Without these basic building blocks, our house is on shaking ground. It is built on things of the world, or worse, according to the world's standards. If you've been keeping up with the news nowadays, the world's standards are like a rocket train heading downhill at a high rate of speed. It seems like every day something else comes under attack that we grew up believing was a good thing. Hezekiah was told to put his house in order, and he cried out for more time. How much time do you need? If you are granted more time, what are you going to do with it? What is your plan? What are your goals? We talked in the past of how important it was to set goals in the business world and also in our Christian walk. If you don't have a destination in mind, how are you going to get there? If you found out you had terminal cancer and 3 months to live, what would you do differently? Would you have regrets concerning your service to God? Would you have any problem sitting down and identifying your shortcoming, knowing that you are just a few months from the rest of eternity? Would you have any trouble sharing the gospel with those you love and care about? A sense of urgency would impel you to be bold, because they may not have an opportunity to hear the good news from anyone else. I'm going to digress for a moment. Hope you don't mind. Don't mind? I got a couple extra minutes. I was working on the memorial service for Lana day before yesterday, I think it was. And as I was going through this, I started having this crazy thought. Wonder if I wrote my own message. Thank you. Eulogy. Wonder if I wrote my own eulogy. I must have been outside, because as I was going on, this thing got cooler and cooler and cooler. But as I got to the end of it, I thought to myself, Oh, no. I was thinking to myself, who do I know that would have the strength, the courage, and the commitment to say these things to the public? Jerry, you're one of the people that came to my mind. I'll bet you I could get Jerry to say all this stuff. Yeah, but we'd really have to open it up to get a whole bunch of non-Christians in there so we could just blow their hair back. Yeah. I think my eulogy would be rather pointed and direct, and I wouldn't hold anything back.
7 minutes.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I could do my eulogy in 7 minutes, because the wrath of God would take at least 10.
You got to be around him. He's always timing everybody else.
Yeah, I got 6 minutes, and I'm going to make it. Yeah, so that was just a thought. So if I should pursue that and I come to you, then that means I've decided that you would have the courage to say the things I want you to say. We need to have some short-term goals, such as overcoming the sins that so easily beset us, and we can do this if we stay focused on the task. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. We got this great cloud of witnesses. DJ was talking about them earlier, that are cheering us on to succeed. Do you imagine that Jesus has stopped caring about us just because we've been immersed? We need medium-range goals, such as being a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work, 2 Timothy 2 and 21. And once we do make some progress in our personal development, It's time to start sharing it with others, strengthening them. Because it isn't a good work to be obedient to climbing into the baptismal and getting immersed for the removal of our sins. No, that's not a good work. A good work is doing what God would have you to do, working in His kingdom, making others stronger, at home or at work, working for the Lord and not ourselves. That's the good work. I do want to take a moment to say that I know that a lot of good works are being done here and keeping things moving forward in this body, such as the weekly bulletin and the recording of the messages, the creation of the family camp, the dress ministry, the card ministry, and many other things that this body is doing to bring glory to God. I also know a lot of work is done by the very young people in the preparation of Parker's Perfect Potlucks to keep us nourished while we work. So if you're looking for an opportunity to be more engaged and more involved in the things going on within the body, there's lots of opportunities available. I also want to remind you that I do remember the success of the recent fundraising to get the gospel message out to new areas and to encourage our brethren in Vietnam and Myanmar and other places with the meat of the word. What would be the value of someone hearing the scriptures that will encourage them to be faithful until the end, which may have otherwise have fallen away because of the lack of hope? Steve has said over and over again that the people that are hearing the words that he's sharing with them regarding the Holy Spirit working within us and developing us and changing us into the image of the Christ is a message of hope that is not everywhere. And everyone who hears it gets excited once again about being within the Word of God. Our cash donations that we put together provide the opportunity for Steve to take that message into places that are dark and weary and dying on the vine. And you're part of that. So while the message today is making sure we have our house set in order and we keep our focus on spiritual things, I am not saying we're not already doing many things, but there's always opportunity for improvement. And more importantly, for you younger type people, you got to keep this thing rolling. You got to keep it going. It's all a matter of priorities. It's all about matter of priorities. We need long-range goals such as citizenship in heaven and our lowly bodies being conformed to the same glorious body as Jesus, Philippians 3:20 and 21. Because it's an absolute guarantee that we're going to die in the flesh. Our time should be spent with a sense of urgency, because even though God's word said a man's days are 70, not every man gets a full measure. Some folks spend their life on this earth with a goal to leave some sort of mark. Seems like DJ just said something about that. Some sort of evidence that they've been here. They hope for something to leave behind that will be lasting and worthwhile. What would be more lasting and worthwhile than a soul in heaven with you for eternity? Because as you drive down these roads and you look at, you know, the houses that you remember as kids, when they went up new, they're now falling down. Barns that went up when you were a kid and you were thinking, oh, they're very profitable, they're doing good, that farm is doing great, those barns are falling down. The fields are going fallow. Things are just constantly decaying. But a soul in eternity is forever. Lana is forever. And she's waiting for us. But like I said a moment ago, it's about priorities. Because if you put it off until you have more time or after you are more prepared, it will never happen. If you knew you had 15 more years from today, would you be more zealous to get things done, or would you just continue to procrastinate? I'm more of a two-week kind of person. If I have an appointment that's 2 weeks out, I don't think about it until 2 days out, and then it bubbles to the top. So you need to make whatever this priority is on the top of your list and not, well, I'll see them in a few months at the family get-together, and then I'll see what I can do. You want it to happen, you need to make it the top of your list. We may have 15 years or we may have 15 minutes. Ask the lady that went kayaking yesterday. Only the Lord knows. So we need to constantly review the status of our house and, as required, keep our house set in order. The wisest man who ever lived had this to say after he'd considered the length and the breadth of all the things of this life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Thanks for your attention. 1202.